D-Maze, Vingan, and Donick coming at you here on 102.5 The Game, presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you. D-Maze is out in Hermitage for the NFL Alumni Golf Tournament. Adam Vingan is off this week. He will be back with us on Monday. We are joined by Elliot Friedman, who is at the Stanley Cup Final. Big game four tonight, Oilers and Panthers, as the Oilers try to make the series even at two. Elliot is presented by Old National Bank. Get old. So, Elliot, you've made the transition from Edmonton to Florida. I'm sure that's a lot of fun for you to be down there, and plenty going on, not only for the series but around the league. But let's start with the Oilers and their health, because they're already down 2-1. They got beat pretty badly in game three, and they are banged up.
They sure are. They do have some injury troubles, especially with Zach Hyman out, and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins is clearly not himself here. He's not taking face-offs. He doesn't seem to be handling the puck that well. So there seems to be some sort of hand or wrist thing that he's dealing with here, although it looks like he's going to play tonight. But, I mean, look, like the bottom line, they lost their cool the other night. They took undisciplined penalties, a couple in the offense, three in the offensive zone, and a too many men penalty. You have to be disciplined in the way you move the puck against the Panthers, and they didn't, and they got beat, and they got embarrassed. But they tend to respond well to bad games. We'll see. This is a different animal.
Dave Macy with us?
Oh, yeah. No, I thought you had another one there. I thought you had another one, Willie. This is the problem you run into when, you know, the team is split up, unfortunately,
yeah.
Today. So you kind of run into that. But, no, we have Elliot on with us, 32 Thoughts Podcast. Now, Elliot, I had this question. We were talking about this the last couple of days in this series.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've noticed is that, you know, the Panthers are playing a very physical brand of hockey, and it's not like Edmonton can't play it, but I don't think they are capable of sustaining it as long as the Panthers are. And it seems like, you know, those old saying that coaches say, take them into deep waters and then see if he could truly swim. Well, it seems like that's what the Panthers are doing to Edmonton. They're taking them in deep waters with their physicality, and it seems like Edmonton can't hold up.
You know, I like that saying, by the way, Derek. I'm definitely going to steal that.
Okay.
And it's no different. It's no different than what the Panthers have done to everybody else they've played. Whether it's been this year, the Lightning, the Maple Leafs, and the Hurricanes, or in previous years, teams like Boston and New York. They're a nasty team. They're a team tough. They I've compared them, Derek, to like the 80s Pistons, the Bad Boys. They're like, we're going to physically punish you, and there's no way everything is going to get called. So what are you going to do about it? And they've made that their identity, and that's who they are. And you're right. There's nobody else to this point that can do that to them. Now, I think the Oilers can't be dragged into the alley with them. They have to be physical at points, but they have to do it to their identity. I think one of the biggest problems that's happened to Edmonton now, Derek, is that, for example, in game three, they had three power plays in the first period and they didn't score. And then when they did score on one early in the second period, they immediately gave it back 80 seconds later. You have to score on the power play against the Panthers. You have to. And when you get momentum, you have to find ways to sustain it. And if you don't get, like, the one game they won in overtime in game one, they scored the winning goal on the power play in overtime. They made Florida pay. Now Florida's killing penalties. You have to make them pay for what penalties they do take.
Now, do you think it will be a quick hook with Skinner in this one, but he hasn't played the greatest either, and they end up, you know, I believe they pulled him after the last game. Do you think it's a short hook if things start to come off the rails?
Yes, yes, I do. I do absolutely believe it. I think it's the right move to go back with them tonight. One thing that Chris Knobloch, the coach of the Oilers, pointed out is that Skinner historically gets better the deeper they go into series, that his best games in series tend to be late. So I think they definitely looked at the statistical evidence. Secondly, Derek, he has one of these weird stat lines. I don't really know if they mean anything, but it does exist. His record in game four of a playoff series is incredible. It's like 6-0 with unreal save percentages. Like, to me, that just seems like very random, but it's there. So they looked at his numbers historically, and he's played really well in the last few weeks. Like, he finally had a stinker of a game, and I agreed with pulling him. I think he deserves to start. But, Derek, if it goes as badly as the start of game three did, I do think the hook will be quick.
Now, do you believe we will? Because somehow they've been able – listen, when you have a team with Draisaitl and McDavid on it, you know that at any minute these two guys can explode. How have they been able to contain those two guys, more in particular McDavid?
I just think that what they do is – you know what? What they do is they just throw up a web around them. In the NHL, the coaches call it layers. You have layers set up around the guy to make it difficult. And I like to call it a web or a blanket or whatever you want to call it. But that's what they do. Like, the one thing about the floor, about the Panthers, Derek, is no matter what happens, they always play the same way. Like, sometimes they break down and they have bad nights like everybody does. But they're like, you know, for example, the best defense you ever played with, Derek, as a team, or the best defense you ever played against, they always played the same way every time. They had their system, and everybody stuck to their roles. That's what this team is like. Like, I've seen too many big games where Florida comes out, and they say, okay, everybody's sticking to their system, and everybody's going to do what they're supposed to do. And they do it as disciplined as anybody in the league, and that's what they did the other night. They're gonna make McDavid work. Now, McDavid tends to have, when he has his rare bad games, he tends to come back very hard. The guy honestly thought Derek, who was not very good at all in game three, was the Nashville killer, Draisaitl. Like, he always tears you guys apart. I thought game three was one of the quietest, least effective games I've ever seen him to play. That's the guy I think who's going to come out tonight very different.
Elliot Friedman is with us, presented by Old National Bank. Get old. Game four is tonight. Elliot, around the league, a pretty big trade in the last, yep, I don't know, 12, 24 hours, with Chris Kreider joining Jacob Trouba out in Anaheim. And that intrigues me because out west, Anaheim has been rebuilding for a long time. They are a headliner of, if you want to rebuild, that's fine, but it's going to take a while. But do you think these kind of trades signal that they are on the verge of making a climb?
I think what it tells you is that they are expected to make a climb, Willie. That I think Pat Verbeek knows he's got to get into the playoffs this year. And, you know, like, I think Kreider's got a lot to give still. I think this year was a nightmare year for him. That whole season in New York was unsettled. I just think that Kreider, he's not a great 5-on-5 player anymore because he's just not as quick, but he's really good on the power play. And, you know, a couple people, I didn't see a lot of it, but his penalty kill work to me too. But what it says to me is that Anaheim is expected to make the playoffs next year. And I heard that Joel Quenneville played a huge role in convincing Kreider to go there and that he could help him. I'll say this, I'm really curious to see what the Rangers are going to do, because all of a sudden, like, I don't think they're done. And I think their cap space is going to be used. And I think, and I'll say this also, the words offer sheet are being thrown around by the Rangers. and they're not exactly hiding from it. So I think it could be a really fascinating offseason for them.
The draft combine was held over the weekend in Buffalo, and as you pointed out, this is the draft format's a little bit different this year. Not everybody is, I mean, they're not going to be gathered all together like they have in the past, at least this year. But what, any tidbits that you gathered from what happened in Buffalo over the last few days? I know it's secondarily something you're covering here because your priority is with the finals here, but any tidbits that a Nashville fan would be interested in?
I think it's going to be a fascinating draft because I think Schaefer is the number one guy, the defenseman from Erie. And then I think it's going to be wild to see how it unfolds from there. So one of our draft gurus, Sam Cosentino, he has a top. He thinks the draft kind of drops after 12. So it's a great, it's great for where you guys are. Another one of our draft guys, Jason Bukala, I think he has a drop off after 6, which is still good for where you guys are. I was talking to a couple of managers and they think it drops off around 8, which is still good for what you guys are. And I think that depending on how, like what San Jose decides to do at 2 or whoever picks 2, it's going to be fascinating. I think a lot of teams grade a lot of those players slightly differently. I would bet that you guys are picking 5, right?
Correct.
So I would bet that if you took all 32 teams and you said, okay, who's number 5 on your draft order, you get a lot of different answers. A lot of different answers. So what I think that you guys have to be prepared for is, A, deciding who you really like. Like at 5, who's our guy? And then, depending on how things actually do unfold in front of you in a couple of weeks, being ready to move in any particular direction. Like, I do think you're going to see teams, Nashville's going to, that draft's going to unfold. I think Schaefer goes 1, and then we kind of see what happens from there. I think Nashville's phone is going to start to ring, and there's going to be teams saying, hey, someone here is dropping, or someone here we really like. What's it going to do? What are you willing to do here in the moment to move? And then you're going to have to make a choice. 1, do you want to move? 2, is there a guy you really want who, if you move down a spot or two, you think you're going to get? Or do you get offered something that's going to make you say, okay, we'll really go back? Now, it's very rare for teams in that spot to move back. The young players are too good, and you get good contract control on them. But I guarantee you, you're going to get calls from teams maybe a couple spots behind you saying, hey, if there's someone we really like here, how do you feel like moving down a couple spots? And that's what you're going to have to be prepared for.
You've mentioned a few times, and I think a lot of people, you just talked about, you know, the drop-off in the first round. But from a lot of people I've read and talked to, the bottom of the first round, where Nashville has 2 other first-round picks, if you wanted to go in aggressive and dangle 1, both, or package 1 with another, they have a ton of picks, as we know. And try to get somebody established. You've mentioned a team like Buffalo that's looking to shake it up. With the stock of that low part of the first round a little down, do you think that might be tougher to do this year as opposed to maybe some other years where the draft is deeper?
Yes, I do think it will be a little bit tougher. I definitely think it'll be harder this year. Not impossible. And it also depends on how much higher you want to move up, right? Like, the other thing, Willie, is there's a lot of people who've done a lot of really good draft research over the years. Like, how valuable are these picks? And, like, in the NHL draft, 1 pick is super valuable. 2 pick is really valuable. And then it drops. Like, there's a significant drop from having pick 2 to having pick 3. And a lot of these teams now, at least the smart ones, a lot of these smart teams now, Willie, they have done scientific work into what these draft picks percentage-wise are worth. So, like, if you want to move up from, say, I don't know, 5 to somewhere higher, or you want to trade picks for a player, I would say this year those picks for Nashville are probably more valuable to Nashville than someone who's trading for them. But the one thing that happens is it's not so much for an established player, it's during the draft. Because if Nashville wants to move up, I don't know, 2 or 3 spots, like does some player really drop and Nashville sits there later in the first round? Holy cow, we like this guy. That's where those two picks are going to become even more valuable. Because if you're needing to move up 3 or 4 spots or a few spots to get someone who you really like on your draft board, who might actually be close, that's where it can help you. Like, I'll give you guys an example. Like, there's one kid, and he's basically, his name is Mason West, okay? He is a high school football quarterback. But to go to the next level, a lot of the schools apparently that are the top schools, they want him to play a different position. And he is a really good hockey player too. He's from Minnesota. And one of the things that was coming out was people were telling me they're really trying to figure out where this guy should go. And he's really raw, but he's physically talented, and he's a good player. That's the guy, depending on where everybody feels. Like, someone told me that there's going to be teams that sort of have this guy, okay, where do we want to take him? And if we're interested in him, where do we know we won't be able to get him? And they said, that's a guy that's a true wild card of the draft, because there's not a lot of evidence there, but you could see him becoming a very effective NHL player. And he seems to be getting more serious about hockey because playing quarterback might not be in his future. That's a guy, wow, if the Predators like Willie, I could see some moving around.
Okay, two-sport guy, near and dear to my heart, for sure. And that is, philosophically, Barry Trotz has talked about guys who have a high ceiling. He feels like the organization in his past has been a little more conservative with their picks, and he wants to, as he calls it, take swings. So that sounds like a guy that you would be taking a swing on, but you could be rewarded if he blossoms, for sure. So, Elliot, leave us with this. You mentioned offer sheets, right? And the picture's still not clear because guys could be signed between now and the time you actually could give an offer sheet. But are there one or two guys that you've got your eye on that could be prime targets to have somebody fire an offer sheet out there?
Well, I mean, the big names are the guys like Matthew Nyes in Toronto, J.J. Paterka in Buffalo, Mason McTavish in Anaheim if they're not signed by then. But there's also a bunch of guys, like I mentioned this week, Jack McBain in Utah. He's not like a top, top guy, but I think what last year, the two guys who did really well in St. Louis, Holloway and Broberg from Edmonton, they weren't top line guys. They were young guys who hadn't hit their ceilings yet, but they're really talented players. They were mid-level guys. So Jack McBain is a big center. He's never going to be a huge scorer, but he's the kind of player you win with. He's in that area. Joel Hofer, who's the backup to Jordan Binnington in St. Louis, he's another guy there. Like, I think people are also looking at those guys, not just the studs, but the guys who kind of fill in the middle of your roster.
Elliot, great stuff. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll talk to you again here very soon, and let's hope this thing continues to have the drama that it's had.
I hope so. I like long series.
Oh, yeah, it's nice. It's nice. You won't turn down another trip to Florida if it happens.
No, I definitely won't. I definitely won't turn that down.
All right, Elliot Friedman, presented by Old National Bank. Get old. Elliot and I are about the same age. We're both a little bit older than Derek. We're always getting older each day. Elliot Friedman, the very, very best. When we come back, we'll continue. And there's some news passed along by our colleague, and D-Mace Adams at it again. He's on vacation. He's at the beach, and he's sending us articles. But actually, this is going to be something we use. Joe Rexrode, our buddy, our colleague, has written about Zakai Ziegler. There is some news on his quest to get a fifth year, presumably, at the University of Tennessee, but a fifth year of eligibility to play college hoops. We'll tell you how that's gone down in a moment here on DVD, 102.5 The Game.
Back at you, DVD. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. We are headed into the last half hour of today's show. It's been wonderful. Thank you to Elliot Friedman for coming on, as he does each and every week, discussing what's going on in the world of hockey. Obviously, tonight we had the Edmonton Oilers and the Florida Panthers. Panthers are up 2-1, looking to go up 3-1, but Edmonton is looking to tie the series and take it back to Edmonton 2-2. So it's going to be an interesting game. If you hadn't followed this series, I do suggest that you start working it. Start watching the series.
You can start working it if you want.
Yeah, you can start working it too. Yeah.
You'll work out while you want to.
Exactly. So,
all right.
So tonight, go ahead.
D-Mace, what is Adam doing? Adam Vingan is on vacation. You're listening to the DVD. He would be the V in the DVD. All right. He's at the beach. He's on vacation.
Yes, he is.
He's not supposed to be doing anything but get away from the show. The idea of vacation is you detach.
Yes.
From your work, you have no care in the world. So we're interviewing Elliot, as you just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And here comes a text from Adam linking Joe Rexrode's story that we're about to talk about here. And I thank Adam for doing that.
Oh, I thank him, too. I thank Adam
because
as well.
It's a nice story. It's given us a good little nugget to chew on here. But I really question. And his wife, Bridget. And Arlo have got to be going, Dad, put the phone down. Get the shovel.
Put the phone.
Get the boogie board and
they
get
need
in the
an
water.
Intervention. They need an intervention. Adam, give me the phone. Give me the phone and a computer. Slowly. Or slowly move away from your phone and your computer, Adam. Enjoy. I told him to go jump in the ocean. Do something, man. We appreciate you. We still love you, Adam. You ain't going nowhere. But enjoy your time off, man.
Yeah. On Monday, we're going to discuss this with Adam.
Exactly.
Just, we might even have to get Bridget on the show just to kind of sort this out, just to make sure everything's okay. Because this is questionable behavior. But he did pass along. Joe Rexrode has written a story in The Athletic that Zakai Ziegler, some people may have heard this a few weeks ago. In fact, we talked with George about it not long ago. Ziegler, who was a great four-year player for Tennessee, he tried to go sort of an offshoot of the Diego Pavia strategy legally. And I guess the philosophy is this. Hey, the NCAA hasn't won a case in years. So let's go for it. Let's see if we can get an extra year. And basically saying the fifth year for a lot of college players is the most lucrative. It's unfair to not allow everybody to have a fifth year. COVID sort of changed the rules, sort of. But he is lost. That's the story. Zakai Ziegler did not get the preliminary injunction seeking the fifth year, whereas Pavia did. Right, Pavia, because the junior college element to it, which is not factored into Ziegler. Pavia won, so he's back. Ziegler lost, so he and all the other people who would have maybe had the floodgates open, they could have jumped through for a fifth year. That has not happened. And so let's just read the simple part of it. U.S. District Court Judge Catherine Kreitzer denied that injunction that would have granted him another season, writing that Ziegler and his lawyers failed to present sufficient evidence that the rule of four seasons of eligibility produces substantial anti-competitive effects in the market. They're arguing that the fifth year is the most lucrative. But look, it sounds to me like they stopped the madness D-Mace at one point and said, look, college is for 4 years. Let's not open this can of worms.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he, you know, even going into it, you know, I'm sure that they thought this was a 50-50 chance that he would be granted an extra year of eligibility. And so be it. They deny his request. And I'm thinking they must have thought about this, like, forward thinking, because if he wins this case, it does it would theoretically open up, you know, other doors for other athletes to petition to have that fifth year if they've graduated within the 4 years, if they play 4 years of sports, they still want that fifth year. Now, I wonder what the rule is from this standpoint, Willie. Maybe you know it, maybe you don't. If some of our listeners do know it that are well versed on, you know, what has been going on. If Zakai Ziegler had not graduated in 4 years, because we understand sometimes guys take a fifth year or whatnot,
right,
for whatever reason.
Spread your classes out,
etc. Yeah, exactly. Instead of trying to, you know, really take them all at one time. Had he not graduated in 4 years, would that been more of a, you know, would that been more of in his favor than not? Because he theoretically said, hey, listen, I haven't graduated yet, so I still should be granted that fifth year based upon, you know, me not accumulating enough credits to graduate. So does my, you know, eligibility, you know, go concurrent with, you know, me graduating, or is it just 4 years whether you graduate or not and you can't play no more unless you've had an injury or some type of hardship?
It's not really discussed in this. I don't think it should be a factor. Because then it just seems like everybody. I do remember vividly guys that maybe got injured in another sport who kind of knew early in their career, hey, I'm going to be here for 5 years. So why should I take 4 or 5 classes this semester when I could take 3 and I'm going to be here another year, so I'll still graduate on time. I'll just spread it out and not try to graduate and then go to graduate school, which some of my other teammates happened to do, that they knew they were going to be there for 5 years. They were redshirting, so their plan was to graduate in 4 years and then get a graduate degree. I've seen it both. But it just seems like everybody would stick around for 5 years. So if I am the parent, or if I am a rising freshman going to one of these schools, I am so relieved that this is happening, because there's already been a logjam after COVID for rising high school seniors. I would like to see freshmen coming on campuses and not get bumped and not go in with such a crowded roster that it's hard to break through as a freshman. I'm hoping that we get back to some sense of sanity now.
Now, was his only defense was that the fifth year was the most lucrative year? Is that his only defense? Because I guess that would have been his only defense, because, again,
yeah, because he's a great player, right?
So
he was going to go to graduate school, and he argued that, hey, if I stay here, he said other kids have been able to stay a fifth year, and it's all stemming from the COVID year where they had a season that didn't count, right? Remember, they didn't play the tournament?
Yes.
So everybody got the fifth year. So he has watched a lot of his teammates. He's watched players around the country cash in on that fifth year as either a graduate transfer or just a straight-up transfer, and you get big, big money. Joe's article says his lawyers claim that he could have earned up to $4 million if he was granted eligibility for a season, and that would be irreparable harm. Because, I mean, that's real money, et cetera.
Yes.
And he is probably not a guy that's going to hop right into the NBA. He's, I'm sure, good enough to play in the G League and go into the summer league or go overseas and play. He's going to have options, but making another $4 million and then going into the pro ranks is a big difference for sure. But I think it was time to just say, look, COVID was COVID. That was a special circumstance. And it doesn't say this in the article, but to me, we just have to get back into the mindset of you're supposed to go to college for 4 years. And really you're supposed to go to college from age 18, 19, to 22-23. And let's not have all these Rodney Dangerfields sticking around for extra 2 or 3 years. Let's get away from that being the norm.
Yeah, you would tend to want that to continue. And obviously he had to have understood, and his lawyers, but you still got to make the argument that that was a special circumstance. The whole COVID and giving, you know, student athletes an extra year and sometimes even 2 years. And it's unfortunate that you would not be able to benefit from that. But you, like you said, you want to try to get it back to normal, where it's on average, it's about, on average, college athletes spend 3 to 4 years in school and then they're done. Now, you may have that occasion where, you know, they get the fifth year, but a lot of times it's usually injury or
right,
they got
red shirted.
Yeah, exactly.
It's still, the rule is still supposed to be that you have 5 years to play for.
Yeah.
And this, if he had won, essentially it would have made everybody eligible for 5 years from what
yeah,
I look at it. And we may still get there someday if people keep suing and somebody wins. Our boy
I think
Tony
it all
at NCAA, we know he's sitting by
yeah.
his phone. He's still
I
waiting
think it
for
all
a victory.
Balances out. Willie, but do you think it all balances? Because I get what you're saying. I know what you're saying. Because that whole – it was all out of whack when you had, you know, 24-year-olds playing against 20-year-olds and 21-year-olds. I get it. All that stuff is out of whack. But because of what – they are doing even before they get into college, hell, even before they get into high school, they're holding kids back.
Yes.
You know, so they can be an extra year older. Then when they get into college, I think if you keep it the way it is, like give them that fifth year, I think eventually everybody will just adjust to it. You know, it'll become the norm.
That's
but it may
and
take
this,
some time
this
to get
won't
there.
Change, and this won't change that, right? There are people that strategize. And we had a great conversation with Tim Hasselbeck about this, because it's sometimes not all it's cooked up to be in terms of if your end game is to make it to the NFL, that he looked at the stats, and there's not a lot of cases where because you stay an extra year in high school, you get held back, or you go to a postgraduate, that means you're going to end up in the NFL. It's less likely. But I'm sure there are some people who have had great success going that way because you are an older, more mature college student. It's happening in college hockey a ton, and it's happening in other sports where either, like, somewhere along the line as your high school, you reclassify. That's happening quite often. Or you go to some sort of postgraduate. You delay going in as a college freshman, and you go in at age 20 or you know, almost
19.
20. Yeah. And you're a year older, a year stronger, and then your senior year, you're definitely a lot more mature, right? I can see that as a strategy. I don't think the NCAA can do anything about that unless they create some sort of age restriction, and I don't ever hear any momentum for that, even though I would like to see. Let's give you a grace period, right? But let's not have 25, 26-year-olds in there.
Well, it'll never change because high school would never change its age. I mean, I think what? You have to be – I know some kids may turn 19 when they – after they graduate or they turn –
Yeah, there is a limit. There is a limit of how old you can be and play in high school.
Exactly.
For sure.
And I think unless they change that, I don't think it, you know, it will affect as far as age-wise. They would have to change it at that level because you have more parents choosing to keep their kids, you know – hold them back a year, you know, when it comes to classification, because they believe just a year more mature will help them in the end. But there's no true data saying that it does help. Like you said, Willie, if you do hold your individual child back a year, that will get them, you know, into the professional ranks.
So no Zakai Ziegler for Tennessee this year or anywhere else on the college level. He will.
I would have liked to see him another year, though, because I wanted to. Of all the players,
he's too good.
I would have
played for Tennessee.
I know he plays for Tennessee in Vandy. Out of all the players that played at UT over the last 5-7 years, I would have loved to see Zakai Ziegler win a championship or at least get to the championship game, because he was a hell of a player for the Vols, man. And I think he deserved, you know, to be able to play on that stage, on the national championship stage.
So I'm curious where his career goes, what he decides to do, where he's going to play, because certainly he's not done playing anytime soon. All right, when we come back, we'll wrap up the show. We will look ahead to Stillman and Company, and we will recap a couple of the things that are going on around the world of sports and some tidbits from minicamp that the Titans have going on this week here in Nashville. Stay tuned. DVD down the home stretch next. D-Maze, Fingan, and Donick coming down the home stretch. We've had some fun today. And before we get out of here, we got some text to read for you from our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
We also
need to tell you about this week's Nashville's best deal, and that's Staley's Chicago Italian Dining, one of Nashville's best-kept secrets and winners of numerous Best of Awards. Enjoy authentic Italian beef sandwiches, and it is written sandwiches, Vienna Chicago dogs, and the best gyros south of Chicago. Get half off a $20 gift card now while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deal. So a couple of texts, D-Mace, for you.
Mm-hmm.
We want to thank JC in Goodlettsville. TSSAA, you cannot turn 19 before August 1st.
Okay, all right. But you can be 19 during a season.
So if your birthday happens to be August 2nd, I think there are some kids who maybe enter high school early whose parents decide, okay, he could stay back and still turn 19 right after the cutoff there. And so you're just an older senior. That does happen, right?
Yeah,
so
it does.
You have people do that, so you can be as old as you possibly can be. But there is a rule of how old you can be. That's the cutoff.
Yeah.
19 before August 1st.
I knew it was somewhere around there because it was the same rule when I was in school back in early 90s. I was wondering if that was still a rule, because my thing is nothing's going to change above if it doesn't change below as far as the rule, as far as the age requirement and stuff like that. So
we have a couple of texters on our text line, D-Mace. David says, hey, wasn't Adam harping on Stillman for working on vacation last week? LOL. Give him the same grief.
Yes, he was.
And Nate had
the same exact thought. Man.
Nate, you were trashing the you were trashing Jared for listening to the show on vacay, so Adam is pulling a Jared.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the last thing Adam wants to do is pull a Jared. But that's what he's doing.
This will be discussed.
His ears are burning. That's all, Willie.
It must
his
be.
Ears are
he better get
burning,
that water.
Goodness. Exactly.
It's not the sun
take
burning
advantage
his
of that
ears
water.
Right now.
Mm-mm. Because you were in it for the long haul in July once the season come around, buddy.
Regarding the Zakai Ziegler, a text here, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, I'm actually surprised that Ziegler lost, because even a lot of college counselors will tell incoming students that a lot of majors will likely take you 5 years, or at least you'll burn up a lot of your hours on the way in there. But I'm actually glad that they, at least for now, have closed the floodgates.
Yeah, I mean, if they were to rule in another way, then maybe that would have started something that didn't need to be started, as far as getting that extra year. But he won't be the he's the first. At least I think he's the first. Well, he's the first that has challenged that particular one. Now, we've seen Pavia do it, but he, under his circumstance, he could do it. I believe he had more of a fight. But this is the first time we've seen someone try to get a extra year without having any hardship or transfers or anything else. He won't be the first. He's the first, but he won't be the last that tries to, get that fifth year. So, I think the NCAA knows it.
Oh, our buddy Tony, his phone hasn't stopped, right? His phone's going to keep ringing, right? He's in his office. He's got
He's got
the vine. He's got the cord in there.
But Tony ain't got no power, man. Tony ain't got no power no more. Come on now.
He's got nothing. He's got nothing.
Exactly.
But he's got to be. He might have a party tonight, though, because they actually won one. They actually sort of won.
Think they sort of won?
Is this kind of a win? I don't know.
I wouldn't say it is a win. I guess for now is a win. But they still, the court still say there is a potential antitrust law that is being broken. So it's not completely over.
Right. So celebrate while you can, because the next one's coming for sure.
Exactly.
First of all, have you had any, who have you seen out at the NFL alumni? Any noteworthy people that you hadn't seen in a while?
I've seen Javon. Hadn't seen him in a while. Donnie Nicky. I hadn't seen Donnie Nicky in a while. Dana Sidney. I've seen Dana. Who else? Mike Archie. I'm trying to think of. I've seen B Hop, but I see B Hop all the time. So KD. KD. I've seen KD. Hadn't seen him in probably a month or two. So I ran into a few guys that they're here in the city, but you just don't see them as much. Now I see Kevin from afar because, you know, he's doing good work. Over there as a
Dr.
principal.
Dr. Kevin Dyson.
Yeah, Dr. Kevin Dyson. He's written a book and everything. So I see Dyson a lot, but, you know, we don't get a chance to talk. So I get a chance to, you know, rap with him for a quick second.
Is he still going with the big beard?
Yeah, he still got the beard. He ain't going to never cut that off, man. I don't think he's going to ever cut it off, man. He's getting older, man. I think he likes the gray in the beard, man.
Very professorial.
Distinguished look. Yeah, distinguished. Come on, man. He works in education. That's the education look,
doctor.
Man. Come on. Exactly. That's the look. You can't cut off the beard and everything.
Yes.
Exactly.
Do you have the specs to go with it, D-Mace?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So he's been doing wonderful things here in the city since his retirement. So it was good to just speak a few words. I catch him out here on the links once the show is over with and as I get my golf clubs out the trunk. And get me a golf cart.
Well,
but I'm
going to
enjoy
meantime,
it. I'm going to enjoy it. It's hot out here, Willie.
If I know Frazier, he's going to doctor up one of those pictures where he's going to put the big beard and glasses on you like a pipe. I want to see like Professor Mason, Dr. Professor Derek Mason.
Already in the works.
It's already in the works. Look out. All right, D-Mace, before we get out of here, who do you like tonight? Did the Oilers win tonight and make it 2-2? I think from an entertainment standpoint, that's what we're looking for.
From an entertainment standpoint, I would love to see Edmonton win this game, but I just don't. As good as Connor McDavid is and Draisaitl are, they've done a remarkable job at just corralling those two. More importantly, on Connor McDavid, I don't think he scored a goal in this year's Stanley Cup Finals. He has some assists, I know that, but he hasn't scored a goal. They've been somehow, some way, able to corral the Michael Jordan of the hockey world, and I think it's going to continue with the injury to Arvidsson. They have other injuries. I just think they're taking them into deep water. They're beating them up as they're taking them into deep waters, and they can't swim for too long. So I expect the Panthers to put it on them again. I expect it to be another high-scoring game. I wouldn't be surprised if Skinner, and that's why I asked Elliot, do you think it's a quick hook tonight? I think it's going to be a quick hook for Skinner tonight.
I'm picking
the Panthers.
Okay, you're going Panthers. I'm going to go Oilers. I think I'm hoping. This is maybe wishful thinking, but I think we might be due for a game where Connor McDavid just has that game.
It better be this game, everybody.
I know if it's not, they're in deep, deep, you know what. But just elevates everybody and says, this is why I'm the greatest player in the world right now. So we're looking we're looking forward to seeing tonight, and we'll be back tomorrow on the show here on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game.
Be loved. Love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful Thursday. I'm going to go out on these links, and I'm going to have fun. So peace.